Hatumutamang adivasetu no bante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Okay, we will now do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity standing to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with His fullness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, an affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Excuse me. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Japa. Buddhang Pujayini. Dhammang Pujayini. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. We will off the light, then you can meditate. Eh? I think today we can do it for 35 minutes. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, eh, you straight away proceed. For those who still need to stabilize their sati or train their mind, you go ahead accordingly. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We'll do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Cacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anotaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chattari purisa yukkhani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anutarang Punyakirtang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to Triple Gem. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. You can be seated. Then we will continue with our. We're supposed to continue from the 36th lesson of the 6th Paitriya Platform Sutta. Last Tuesday, I think we stopped at page 20 here. So today, I don't have to use the handphone because I have got the draft transcript finalized. So thanks to Sister Pangasuri and Brother Tim, they have printed it out for me to use. Then, okay, page 20. I will continue from where we stopped. This chapter is going to be very good and very interesting. I didn't know this chapter already talked about this. Master Huineng said, you should produce a mind, not thought, which is nowhere supported, or the mind that has no dwelling, by attaching yourself neither to emptiness, to existence, nor to Dhamma. Attachment to Dhamma results in attachment in existence, and attachment in existence results in perishing in emptiness. But when you are unsupported, the way will circulate freely. So this statement is very, very meaningful, very powerful. This is Chen Hua's commentary and interpretation, because theoretically, they will talk about this. To add to that, my explanation is clearer and deeper. So this is not only describing to you that you neither attach to emptiness, to existence, nor to Dhamma. We have to understand what the meaning is. So the meaning here is very important. So Xuan Hua just mentioned, but he didn't explain. So I use the Dhamma that we have developed, then we use it to explain so that you can understand better. Just give me a minute. Okay, I think the connection got some problem. So now I will read to you the explanation. To add to that, my explanation is clearer, and you attach yourself to emptiness is because the word emptiness is not emptiness, and the understanding of emptiness is not an intellectual knowledge, not a concept. Then not to existence. Testing. Okay. I have to change it.
Hello? Testing.
Okay. Okay, I read through the paragraph again. You neither attach yourself to emptiness. It's because the word emptiness is not emptiness, and the understanding of emptiness is not an intellectual knowledge nor a concept. Then nor to existence. So existence, as we all know, the phenomenal world, all of phenomena, if you dwell, attach and cling, you will get into trouble, for they are not real, and mind make are they. Nor to Dhamma, for Dhamma is truth, that can allow you to realize the wisdom and the understanding to live life. So this tree, very, very important. So when we talk about emptiness, it's not just the word. It's the true meaning. Can you recall the understanding of emptiness? It's not just like the word literally empty. Yeah? When we mention this house is empty, it doesn't mean that there is nothing inside there. The scientists will know that there is still air, the air we breathe and all those things. But emptiness is not just a word or a concept. Emptiness is an understanding. So understanding is very important. When it comes to Dhamma, it's the understanding, the wisdom behind. So what is the understanding of emptiness? Like what we have gone through. Can you recall? Yeah. Empty means what? We cannot deny we have gone through life, isn't it? All of existence since our birth until now, we cannot deny all this happened before. But is it tangible? Is it real? Can you hold on to it? Can you own it, possess it? You can't. That's why it's empty. Empty in the sense that within our existential world, conditioned arising world, everything is dependent originating. When condition arise, it will arise. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. That's why there is no reality. And the Buddha called it impermanence. When you get insight into the characteristics of nature, the main one is impermanence. Then you will understand everything that arises in this universe, They are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity. And if they are impermanent, how can they be real? Definitely, they are non-self and empty. So that understanding is very penetrative. That's why my teacher Achayantra always mentioned to me when I met him not less than 6 times. We just contemplate until very, very clear the Dhamma. So this understanding of impermanence leading to the understanding of non-self, empty nature, is very powerful. So you have to reflect, you have to contemplate constantly. Then, just like what we went through during the early days, we have to learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only we can see beyond form. Similarly, we have to learn to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then only we can see beyond mind. Not until you have developed the ability to connect to your true mind, your true nature, all this you cannot understand. So Dhamma is to be realized. Wisdom is to be awakened to. It's not a knowledge. So this understanding, I hope, by now, should be more or less very clear to most of you. Then the second part is, you neither attach yourself to emptiness or existence. So as we all know, to exist is to go through life, to live life. So if you attach to existence, means what? Means you attach to the phenomenal world, condition arising world. Everything that you come to perceive through your senses will be like very real to you. That's why you cling, you grasp, you give meaning. And if you do that continuously, the Buddha said, this is attachment, this is delusion. When you cannot get what you want, when things doesn't go your way, suffering will arise. So attachment will lead to suffering. You have to understand their universal characteristic. The phenomena will exhibit all these universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature. That's why all of the phenomena will, all of form, rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, that all of the thing you come to perceive, to feel, the mental state that arise and the consciousness that arise, they are the same. They are impermanent, leading to suffering, and they are empty, non-self. So these are very important understanding that we need to contemplate, reflect until very, very clear. That when you have the ability to insight into phenomena, realizing the three universal characteristics, then your contemplative wisdom will become very stable. Then from there on, you will understand very clearly. Then the last one is Dhamma. So Dhamma is all of the truth that the Buddha mentioned, the essential Dhamma and all those things. So Dhamma is truth, pointing towards the truth, the reality. So Dhamma is not for you to attach or cling, to argue about. Because Dhamma is just truth, and truth is. That's why you have to meditate to see things as they are, to realize the suchness within. So this will explain clearly to you. If you dwell, attach and cling, you will get into trouble, for they are not real. And mind make are they? That is existent. Then not to Dhamma, for Dhamma is truth that can allow you to realize the wisdom and the understanding of life. Means understanding to live life. So this part is very important. Any question? Okay, no question, we go on. The next one, 3.2.3, is very important. Only truth and wisdom liberates the mind. But when you attach to Dhamma, then what happens? If you dwell on it, attach to it, and want to argue about it, we are right and wrong, then you will have problem. You want to be right, so you want to challenge others. Then it defeats the whole purpose of meditation, that is attachment to Dhamma. For Dhamma is truth. Truth liberates the mind, frees the mind. It is an understanding. The moment you understand, the mind is liberated. The mind realizes itself and sets itself free. That's why the mundane mind that realizes itself will cease to be. It sees the delusion in doing all those things, the foolishness in doing all those things. That's why meditation is mainly about wisdom. The moment you understand, you are free. But the moment you don't understand, you remain the same, continuously heedless, continuously deluded. You will continue to hold, cling, and react to sense experience through your views and opinions and conditioning because you lack wisdom. You cannot understand truth, the reality. You cannot see things as they are. You see things through your tinted, perceived views and opinions and conditioning and memories. You see things through your tinted, perceived views and opinions and conditioning, your memories, your conditioned mind, your storehouse of consciousness, your accumulated knowledge and experiences of life. Everything that you hold on to, cling on to, like your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memories, your happy and unhappy moments, your misery, etc. You hold on to them and you accumulated them all. Then you retain them all in your memory. Now you understand why the Mahayana say accumulation is suffering. Memory is useful, but it is not for you to store all these psychological memories that can give rise to suffering, which can condition your fear, worry, and anxiety. All these are wrong memories, leading to wrong thoughts. That's why I always teach you all how to understand what wrong thoughts are, which is more important. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamentation, etc. When you project your thought, you worry about the future. When you recall the unhappy past, some scars of memories, then it conditions you to be unhappy. It also includes thoughts that condition your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your doubt, which are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Without greed, you cannot be selfish. That's why all these are wrong thoughts, born of wrong view. When you understand that all these are wrong thoughts, then your mind, that understands via this wisdom, will enable you to straighten your views. You will not create all these wrong thoughts anymore. Then you will diligently learn how to develop through right effort and right view what constitutes right thought. What are right thoughts? All the good and wholesome thoughts that brings about love, compassion, kindness, goodness of heart, respect, gratitude, contentment, harmony, peacefulness, happiness, and joy, etc. They are all right thoughts. Apart from the four Brahma Viharas, right thought of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, there are also a lot of other right thoughts, like thoughts of generosity, respect, contentment, sincerity, etc. These are all right thoughts. Then thought of gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, goodness, all these are also right thoughts. The thought of love to help people so as to be a blessing to all is also a right thought. Then to have faith, to develop the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sorry, and Samadhi leading to Panya or wisdom is also a right thought. To be in the state of awareness or mindfulness leading to heedfulness is also a right thought. Then to enable you to cultivate the first two of the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen and prevent the arising of the wrong thought. You must understand what constitutes wrong thought. Then to enable you to cultivate the third right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you, you have to understand what constitutes right thought that are still not in you. Like the thought of kindness, goodness, generosity, all the good emotion, love and compassion, etc. Just like the Mandarin video which I just sent out this morning for sharing. What does it say? The first thing you must have if you want to improve your life greatly is what? Take care of one. The word in Mandarin that says, if you have the vital virtue in you, all your problems will fall into place and get resolved. And what is that? Yes, Pi Qi, which is your anger, your emotion, your mental negativity. Pi Qi Yao Hao, Pi Qi Hao, Yi Qie Dou Hao. That's why if you don't have the understanding, you don't have this goodness, this kindness, then every time you get angry, throw your tantrum and become emotional, unhappy and aggressive and hit out at others, you will become evil. Because all these are evil roots, roots of all evil that will make you evil. That's why it will bring about downfall. Your business will fail, your relationship will fail, your marriage will be affected, and you will have problems with your children. Even when you are in the office, you don't know how to communicate with your colleague and staff, interact with them, because you don't have the goodness and kindness in you, as well as this understanding in you. So meditation is all about Noble Eightfold Path. That is, right view leading to right thought, all of the good and virtuous thought. You should check your life. How often do you cultivate this right thought? This one is very important. How many of you really check? As you go through life, do you really check? There are some who check. If throughout the day you are not mindful and aware, and you didn't check what type of thought you arise, then you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. How often do you cultivate this right thought? Your gratitude towards what people have done for you. Whether it's a part of your nature to thank people sincerely for what they have done for you, for what they have sacrificed for you. Also to rejoice in all their wholesomeness and goodness. Be sensitive to others. Understand the world. Understand fellow living beings. And understand everything else within nature. This part not easy to do. To do that, you must have wisdom. Only then you can feel for them, so that you are not selfish. Otherwise, you will always think of yourself. And selfishness, which is a very strong evil root, will always be there. Because the deluded mind can cunningly come back through the back door to deceive you again. We are telling you to consider selfishly, for me or not for me, advantage to me or not. Otherwise, I don't want to do them. All these are selfishness. Nothing to do with my family, my business. I don't want to get involved. No advantage to me. I don't want to know. That's why you don't have love. You don't have sincerity, generosity, kindness, and goodness. You are not able to help people. You are incapable of kindness and goodness and love. That's why such people cannot develop virtue. Because they don't have sincerity and they are very selfish. They always think of advantages and motive. So you have a mind that always do that. It's very difficult for you to penetrate the Dhamma. Understanding Dhamma is understanding goodness and virtue. Finally, you will come to that understanding. When your wisdom arises, you will know it's not worthwhile to do all those things. That's why the goodness, the kindness, the love, the compassion, the understanding, they will continue to manifest through virtue and wholesomeness. It's not about doing good anymore. It's about completely freeing your mind from all evil. Okay. Give me a minute. I just had a very very bad cough. The throat was so bad. It started yesterday. Then this morning, when I woke up, I knew already it's not going to be good. That's why today I need to rest early. So anyway, we will still finish at around 10:15. Then maybe after that I need to rest. Okay, I read on. Hence, meditation has a lot to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why life itself is the meditation. Because it's only in life you can apply the Noble Eightfold Path factor. And this is real meditation. You cannot develop a mind that is free, that understands, that does not dwell, you will suffer. Do you know what will happen when you dwell on unhappy past? Meaning you hold on to your grudges. Do you know the meaning of grudges? In Mandarin, it's pronounced as chouhen. Chouhen. This is very detrimental to the human mind. This means you hold on to your vengeance and grudges so strongly. When you understand all this, you will develop the wisdom to straighten your view, to reverse all this negativity of mind state. When you understand that all this brings about downfall and brings about wrong thought leading to suffering, cause your karmic nature to form, and they will make you weak and miserable. And when you also understand that you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy, you have a choice. You will never allow yourself to become afflicted again or become so deluded again. That's how you will wake up, and you will choose to be happy and change immediately or overnight. This is just common sense. And you will not do all those stupid and deluded things again, because the moment you understand, you are free. You can liberate your mind. This is the real meditation. Okay, can you all follow? Can. Good. Then we read on. So meditation, hopefully by now you should understand, it's not just about sitting, walking, developing the calm and peaceful mind. It's developing all this understanding through daily mindfulness, to be aware of your mind states, to be aware of what is going on within your own form and mind. This part is most important. Hopefully you all can understand this part. Hold on. Get me some tissue. Yeah. No, it's okay. This part is very useful. No, don't worry. It's okay. Yeah. Okay, this part is more important. I read on. Attachment to Dhamma results in attachment to existence, and attachment to existence results in perishing in emptiness. This one you all can understand. This is most important actually. So it all started off with delusion, that conditioned living being to attach to Dhamma. And because they attached to Dhamma, they were attached to existence. And if you do that, then according to this sutta, this particular platform sutta of awakening, he said, you will perish in emptiness. But when you are unsupported, the way will circulate freely. This part is very important. Unsupported means you don't hold on to anything. You don't cling on to anything. It means when you don't dwell, when you don't deludedly grasp and cling and hold, you will not have suffering. You become free. Your mind is liberated, and there is nothing in this world that can bring forth the condition for you to have fear, worry, and anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or even the slightest unhappiness. That is what the mind with wisdom can be like. No more. Because you can see clearly how that form of mind with the wisdom connected understand that all these are not real. They are just conditioned arising and dependent originating phenomena. And mind make are they. Only form of mind, and he know you, he know me. Just like what the Buddha said via his Dhammapada verse. He said, my son, my children, my wealth, my property, this only the fools, the foolish one, lament. For that very body also doesn't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, and all those things. Those who have wisdom, they will understand all this. They will not cling, not hold. But they also understand that the conditioned world is the conditioned world, and the existential world is the existential world. In the existential world, there are things, even though they are not real, in the ultimate truth sense, but they are still subject to a set of nature's law. For example, the law of karma, which recognizes relationship and things. But that pertains to the form of mind, nothing to do with the ultimate wisdom. But because our form of mind is born of its karma, heir to its karma, conditioned and supported by its karma, and it is what it is because of its karma, subject to this law of karma. Therefore, the form of mind still has its duty towards this law. But with true wisdom, or in true emptiness, as stated in the Heart Sutta, there is none of all this. So when you have the ultimate true understanding and the understanding of the existential world, meaning the supramundane and mundane, then you would have developed perfect wisdom. This will help complement your understanding. Then you can live anywhere on both sides because you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned world. That's how your mind can transcend duality, transcend all the phenomenal world of consciousness. Like the lotus, it will arise even though it is from the muddy pond. But it will stay above the field to blossom into full blossom. That's why it is so beautiful and so unique. That's why the symbol for Mahayana enlightened being is the famous lotus flower. So now you understand why the lotus flower symbolizes enlightenment. This part is very good. Then the way it will circulate freely means you are free to move. There is no resistance, no more impediment. There is no rigidity. You just accord and flow. The mind that dwells in Dhamma is in self-bondage. This statement is very powerful. When you dwell in Dhamma, you create the Atta, the mark of a self. You create the attachment to Dhamma. That's why it's called self-bondage. You have sakayadity or self-delusion. You get attached to meditation Dhamma and sitting without moving. You tie yourself up and become a prisoner. Sariputta, Sakyamuni's disciple, foremost in wisdom, sat in the forest quietly meditating. But the layman Vimalakiti reprimanded him by saying, "What are you doing? What use are you sitting there like a corpse? It should be like a statue." This particular understanding on chapter 4 is very useful. That's why the title is about Samadhi and Wisdom. Chapter 4 refers to chapter 4 of the Six Patriya Platform Sutta. Do you remember Samadhi and Wisdom? They go hand in hand. And Samadhi is not concentration. Please bear that in mind. Samadhi is the collected mind, unwavering mind. That's why it is related to wisdom. When wisdom is stable, Samadhi will become even more stable. Then it will accumulate into Upekkha, the last factors of enlightenment. But initially, without Samadhi, you cannot see things as they are to realize the wisdom. That's why the two are interconnected and related. You cannot separate them. You cannot say, "I just want to cultivate Samadhi." They are interconnected in many ways. Just like the stick analogy I gave last Sunday. When you pick up a stick, there are two ends to it. You cannot say, "I hold this end, I don't want that end." Then the stick disappears. That's why Samadhi and Wisdom, Panya in Pali, they are together. Do you have any question? Don't have? Then we shall move on. The last paragraph, good knowing advisor. There are those who teach people to sit, looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or rising. They claim that it has merits. What do you think? You go to retreat, very common, isn't it? They say, do citta nupassana. Looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or arising. So they sit, they just sit. What do you think? Is that meditation? Hui Rong shake head, say no, very good. But why is that not meditation? Yeah, that is just the training of the mind, which is very good. According to Padma Sri, which is very good. So if you understand this, you are no longer gullible, like before. So what people do is no longer important. You will know what to do. Where you are there to develop wisdom, to understand life. And that is the real meditation. And to develop wisdom, you must have the silent mind to insight into phenomena. To realize and see all these movements. So all these movements are very, very important. Okay, I will move on. What do you think? A lot of people do that. They call it cittanupassana according to their own interpretation. They say, "I can be mindful of my thought." They claim that it has merits. Confuse people. Not understanding, easily become attached and go insane. And Master Shenhua used such a harsh word, go insane. There are many such people. Therefore, you should know. You should know them. Teaching of this kind is a great error. By now, I really hope you can understand. I will go through this one more time. There are those who teach people to sit and all those things. The key word is to sit a lot. You have heard a lot of meditator or cultivator or even teacher tell you to sit a lot. Sitting, walking, non-stop. They keep on looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or arising. The question is, who is the one looking and doing all this? The thought. The thought is looking at the mind and contemplating stillness. And because of that, they are so actively arising the thought and thinking instead of meditating. So one thought is trying to look at another thought, and they call that cittanupassana. The real cittanupassana is about mindfulness. It's about the silent mind in sati, choicelessly watching via awareness. You don't go and look for it. Only the awareness is aware of it. It is totally different. Then when you sit in the form of meditation, don't contemplate. You only contemplate when you are out of the meditation, having a free mind. Then you can contemplate and develop the inquiry. Then from there, the contemplative understanding, which is the second turning wisdom, will arise through the silent creative mind in contemplation. So this part, by now, should be very clear. Then I need to go further into this so-called cittanupassana that people do. Do you understand when I say only the awareness is aware of it? It is totally different from what they do. You can follow. If you can follow, then it's very good. You want to explain? When people say, I can see my anger, what do you think? Yeah? They say, I do cittanupassana. I can see my fear, my anger, my unhappiness. Is that cittanupassana? Why is it not? You have to be very clear about this. See, when they use this word, I see my anger, what does it mean? Maybe we write it on the whiteboard. Who see? What see? Use the mic. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We have to discuss this. I can see my anger. It is very common, yeah. A lot of cultivator, meditator, they use this word, I can see my anger. Is that cittanupassana? If it's not, then why? Why is it not? We have to ask the question, who say this? Very good. So it's the egoic mind. So if it's the egoic mind, how can it be aware? Understand? So it's another thought looking at the anger that has already arisen. The real cittanupassana is when anger arises, the Buddha said, when the content of consciousness has anger, you must be aware. Means what? Your awareness and the emotion as one. Understand or not? There is no word, no verbalization, no one to see anger. It's just the awareness of it. You understand? That's why I say it's the awareness that is aware of it. Aware of it. And this is the real cittanupassana. When you are silent and just aware, when fear arises, anger arises, or whatever emotion, even pity, sukha, stillness, very strong meditative state, when it arises, you just silent, be with it. Then you will come to understand. They are impermanent. They come and they go. They are dependent originating, condition arising. When condition is there, this thing will happen. when condition cease to be, it will cease to be. Then through the awareness, the understanding is totally different. There is no word, no thought. And this is the real citta, no persona. Not through the labeling, not through the thought that is trying to see. You realize the olden technique or method or way, they always tell you to note. Then with the knowledge, the Dhamma knowledge, they try to see. They try to connect and link. Oh, this is anicchang. This is suffering. If you do that type of meditation, you will never progress, because those are all thought-based. Make sure this is clear, yeah? So that you go to retreat, you don't do all this anymore. And I believe once you understand this, you will progress very fast. That's why when you can just relax, aware, silent, then what happens is the thought will come, because your spiritual faculty, for some of you, are still not stable. So let the thought arise. Don't fight it, don't resist it, don't control it. This is what my advice has been all the while, the same. This book, when it comes out after New Year, read through it before you go to the retreat. Then you will understand very clearly. When you don't fight, don't resist, means you allow it to be. Just like what is mentioned in the Platform Sutta. The way will flow, understand not? Because if you don't resist it, there is no impediment. So this part, when you understand, then you become beautiful. There is no rigidity, you just accord and flow. So Huining say, then the way will circulate freely. That's why for those who don't understand, they try to control, they try to resist, they try to do so many things. So if you don't do all this, your awareness will start to develop the understanding. Basically, you don't have to do anything. Like the Buddha said, the third way. There are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. Remember? The third way is what? Just silent, relax, away. Then what happened? Yeah? The understanding is based on what? The original state of mind before the stirring is already aware. Understand? Peaceful, stillness, silent. How come it is not in that state when you meditate? Because of what? Pass the mic. Very good. Susan, yeah. Yeah. Push it up. Push it up.
We didn't go home. Our mind is always looking outwards.
Scattered outside. But there's another part. You see, the reason why it is not peaceful and constantly heedlessly lost in thought and scattered outside, like what Susan says, is because the spiritual faculties are not there. Understand? Not? So when your spiritual faculties are not there, the mind will be like that. The untrained mind without the spiritual faculty is heedless. It will think a lot. It will arise the mental hindrance, make you heedless. So in meditation, what must you do? If you know that these are dependent originating condition arising due to your ignorant delusion, because you don't have the spiritual faculty, that's why the mental hindrance are very strong. So what must you do? Develop the spiritual faculty. But before you develop the spiritual faculty, let's say you are in a retreat meditating, then this state arises. Don't get angry over the thought, understand? People's problem is, meditators' problem is, they don't like heedless thinking. When their mind is restless, have a lot of thought, they cannot calm down, they cannot become peaceful. You know what they do? they become unhappy. And what is that unhappy mind? Yeah? It is an ill will, true or not? And what is an ill will? It's a mental hindrance. That's why it will hinder you from entering the meditative state. But if you accept that reality, the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. Then I allow it to arise. Then what happens? There is no resistance, understand now. There is no control. There is no suppression. There is no active meditator. No effort, nothing. The thought is not active anymore. But the thought can accept the reality. The thought understands. The original state of mind before the stirring, before the delusion, is already peaceful. So what I need to do is, I allow it to arise. If I don't feed it with any more mental energy and delusion, it will slow down. Slow down. That's why in the retreat this time, you make sure you experience the slowing down of sankhara. And this is the most powerful meditation. The moment you can see the thing slowing down, within at the most 2-3 minutes, you will realize that silence, that stillness within. And that is meditation. That is your true mind. That's why allow it to arise. If you don't fight, don't resist, don't control, and don't do anything, and just silent, relax, aware, like what the Buddha said, then this mind will return to its original state of stillness, awareness, because there is no mental hindrance to make you heedless. Because you don't react, you are at peace. So when you are at peace, what happens? Mindfulness take over. Understand? So when mindfulness take over, then you realize when the spiritual faculty come back, that mind that goes back to stillness or silence is not a conditioned state. Understand? You don't need energy field. You don't need concentration to make it quiet. You understand? This one I have to go into it slowly. If you don't understand this, you're wasting your time meditating. You just relax and silent. And it's so easy. That's why I say those who already stable know how to lie down. That is the easiest way to meditate. But the moment you lie down, the mind go back to its original state very fast. Because when you lie down, means your sati already stable. Your spiritual faculty, your sati already stable. Means you can easily go to your heart area and just stay there. And because you stay there, the thought that is still arising and passing away due to your habitual tendency or whatever unfinished activity of mind while you are going through your daily life. But as you go through your daily life, you are not heedful in the midst of life. This heedlessness will come back. But it will not be long. It will initially come back. Then when you go and meditate, as you remember, initially you start to meditate, then you see all this moving. When I came out to test myself, after the age of 35, 1989, I remember, I resigned from a very good job with the statutory body. Then I tried the private sector. Then I went into the private sector. Private sector, you know, a lot of things to do. So what happened was, when I was with the private sector, I had to start to remember things, read through the contract, attend meeting, and do a lot of work. And my mind already so quiet, so peaceful for so long, when I was in that very comfort zone. My original job before I came out to the private sector, I already standardized everything. Until I got not much thing to do, then my mind is already very stable, very peaceful. Then when I came out, I realized after I start doing all this, then inside the nature tell me, you want to suffer? You go and read. You want to suffer? You go and remember. Yeah, you can see, you know, the suffering. That reading, trying to understand it, there and then itself is suffering. The very arising of thought is suffering. The moment of consciousness is suffering. The moment of feeling, perception, all this very fine suffering, that mind already have that sensitivity to see all those things. So what happened was, there are certain things that I need to recall and remember. So I wrote it down. I took out a piece of paper. I wrote it down so that I don't have to carry it. So after I do that, I find this mind become go back to its normal function again, because it don't have to hold on to anything, because I write it down. Then if I need to see or check in the meeting, I just look at a piece of paper. So what happened was, after I did that, my mind become peaceful again. But because throughout the day, before I went out to the private sector, I was heedful most of the time throughout the day. But because I need to do work, that heedfulness is not like it used to be. So because of the memory, the thinking, the work and all those things, so I realized this sankhara thing, when I reach home, is still there. The movement is still there. And at night, I usually go for meditation at my teacher there. So when I was there, I just sat. Then I saw all this sankhara movement. Then I just relaxed, silent. Then I realized it slowed down. Slow down. Then all of a sudden, still. Then landed back into the heart area. That's how I know. Nobody taught me. And meditation is understanding, wisdom. The moment you understand, the mind free, the mind liberates. So when you know how to relax, silent, and just aware, that is the real meditation. There is no thought involved, no meditator involved, no effort involved. There is no doing by the thought process. So this one, hopefully, by now you understand, then it will help you a lot. Okay, I read on, then maybe you will understand. The key word is to sit a lot. Then keep on looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or arising. Who is the one looking and doing all this? Ah, the thought. The thought is looking at the mind and contemplating stillness. And because of that, they are so actively arising, the thought, and thinking instead of meditating. So one thought is trying to look at another thought, and they call that cittanupassana. The real cittanupassana is about mindfulness. It's about the silent mind in sati, choicelessly watching via awareness. Means silent, and the awareness is with it, with whatever mind state that arises. You don't go and look for it. Only the awareness is aware of it. As per what I wrote there, awareness is aware of it. It is totally different. Then when you sit in the form of meditation, don't contemplate. That is a very good advice. Don't try to understand anything. That's why I always mention, don't try to know when you are in the form of meditation. Just do. Silent. If you bow, just bow. Bow until sati come, you will understand. Walk, you just walk. Body and mind as one, just walk. Don't worry about whether you are doing it correct or not, doing it right or not. Forget about all those things. We have that thought. The moment you become active, you will be caught. You will attach to Dhamma again. Just silent, relax, and just be with the moment more and more, more and more. Then the heedfulness will arise. Okay, we go on to the next page. Ten o'clock already. Oh, okay. Wait, Just give me a minute. Maybe I just finish off this page. This page is very useful. Never mind. It's okay. This one is very important. Well, if I stop here, you all will miss out the important one. All this meditation, when you do it without understanding, you will end up doing all this, including sitting without moving or arising. It means you sit like a statue, down there. Do you think by just sitting, one day you can become enlightened? Maybe your mind can become more calm, more peaceful, and more stable. But then every time you have problem, when you are back to society, you will have to run back to the retreat or meditation center and try to perfect it again. Again, when you come out of such meditation, you realize that you are not peaceful when you are back to normal life. So you go back in again. That's why a lot of people say they cannot live in society anymore after going for a long retreat, meditation retreat. They say society and the world is crazy. Of course, they use a lot of Dhamma, mainly knowledge-wise. They say crazy in the sense that there is so much noise and disturbances outside there. There are so many activities and problems in life. There is also too much sensuality and distraction. There is no way one can meditate, they say. Then society also has so many things that make people miserable. So by running away, sitting in meditation and making themselves peaceful in a tranquil setting, with such a conditioned state of mind, is not going to free them too. It's just a temporary measure. But the moment you are back to society, you cannot cope. You cannot live as a normal living being. And you say it's a crazy world, full of crazy things out there. If the Buddha is like that, he cannot be a Buddha. He is the Buddha because he is at peace everywhere in the midst of life and society. All this need understanding. That's why Hui Ning can understand. Okay, we will finish after this paragraph. Now let us look at Master Hui Ning's commentary. The deluded person does not understand the principle, means the true cultivation. They think, I will just sit here and not get up. This is the way to attain skill in Zen meditation. They get attached to what they are doing, meaning the sitting, and they go insane. For example, many people have come here saying that they are enlightened. That is insanity. So the rest, later on when the book comes out, maybe you all go back and read through it slowly. Well, this transcript is very, very unique, very different. It explains very clearly what meditation is. All this while I've been trying to explain all this to you all, but there was no condition for it to come out in a transcript form until Puan Chi, I think, volunteered to do the transcript. But at that time I knew this sharing was very special, very unique. Then when the transcript came out, Puan Chi also got a shock. She was so full of gratitude. And she really, with so much joy after she did it. She didn't know the depth of the talk until she did the transcript herself. After that, she kept on asking for transcript to do. And so far, I think she has done 4 or 5. She is very fast. She is too fast. I cannot cope with what he has done. I only finished 2. There's 4 or 5 more with me. So anyway, this is going to make a big difference to your understanding of meditation. And because it's in the transcript form, it's very easy to follow. You just have to read through and you understand. And the moment you understand, when you do the meditation with understanding, I tell you, it will have a difference. That's why I realized my nature when it came. I do meditation differently from what people do. And nobody taught me. My teacher all never teach me. They share with me on other things. But the real meditation, nobody teach. And this understanding is not easy. You have to go through it. You have to understand it. Okay? Then maybe we end. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we can end. Let us recall to mind, yeah, all of the wholesomeness and goodness and merits that we have developed over the last 2 hours or so. Then we will now share and transfer all these merits to all those beings who can receive it, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu lokasasana etavata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hotu nyatayo yang me idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hotu nyatayo samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava divana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kaya Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.